Today's reading is taken from Acts of the Apostles. It is on page 1094 of the Church Bibles, chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Alan, for reading so well. Shall we just bow our heads to pray? Lord, we ask you to speak to us through your Holy Spirit, to embed these words in your heart and help us to enact them in the things that you want us to do in the world around us. And we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. We're into the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and we actually hear about an actual act of the Holy Spirit, not just a mass event, but a particular event. And this wasn't just any lame man, one who was lame from birth and known to many of the people in Jerusalem. We aren't told how old he is, but it's clear that he's been seen begging at the beautiful gate for many years. People know he's crippled and a beggar because of his disability. If something happens to this man, they would know about it. Now, we've got to think, is there a situation you are regularly aware of and know full details? If they change dramatically, would you be aware of a change? I'm sure that if we were that person, we'd be surprised, amazed, and also questioning, if not outright claiming a sham of some sort. Now, I had a similar situation when I was on a mission in a place called Popley. It's down in Wiltshire. And there were a group of us, men and women, and we'd been to a healing service that we'd arranged. And actually, we'd seen some miraculous things happen. Other people might say, oh, well, you know, imagination, you know, yeah, excited and all these things. But we were overjoyed that God had been present through his Holy Spirit. And we were on our way to get tea at the local pub. Prearranged, okay? Not going for a jar, actually going for food. So as we were going along, we were talking about what had happened, and we stopped to pray. And we asked the Holy Spirit to bless us with his presence, and we all got together. Now, this would be useful to have some help. Have we got any children in church? Have we got any younger persons who would be brave enough to come down to the front? Just Lydia. Lydia's always brave. She'll always come down. Oh, hang on. Who we got? Right. So, when we prayed, we were told not to make a big show of it. So we got together like this and we were talking to each other as though we were in having a conversation. But surreptitiously, we held hands. And there was a chap, and I'll have to use Richard for this, if you're able. Richard will be a chap called Graham, and he joined in and he put his hands together like this. He was praying, and we put our hands on top of his, and we were just praying and said, Holy Spirit, please come on us now. Give us the right words to say and give us a sign of your truth through your Holy Spirit. And off we went. But Graham was like this, and Graham said, I can't get my hands apart. Strange. Okay, we'll carry on the story from there. Thank you for your help. So, Graham actually, in this event, came running up behind us and he said, I can't get my hands apart. And we saw that it was true because he was going, I can't get my hands apart. And he carried on for a bit, walking down the road. We were all laughing. And actually, Graham was getting more desperate because you need your hands, don't you? Especially when you're going to have your tea, you need your hands. So eventually we stopped and we prayed with him and we asked the Lord to do something about the situation. And he was able to release his hands. Very strange. Why? Yes, good question. Why? So, we carried on. This was on the Friday of the week that we were there. We were doing services in different churches on the Sunday in Popley. Now, I was sent to a particular church to preach and to make an appeal for anybody who wanted to come forward and learn more about the Lord. And we did that. And a lady came forward after the service and said, I want to know more about this Jesus. I want you to pray with me. So we prayed with another fellow. We always pray in twos. We never pray separately. And we laid our hands just, not actually on her, but just over her and asked for the Holy Spirit to come on her. And her husband came up behind, protesting. What are you doing? You know, you don't want to be a Christian. This is really strange. And he came up and he stood behind. And by coincidence, he was holding his hands together. And so we carried on praying with her. And then at the end, she went away really happy. Her husband wasn't quite as happy. His hands were stuck together. So we think that God had a purpose in the first event. But it does prove that God moves in mysterious ways. So imagine the temple in Jerusalem. Crowds of people coming in at the time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He speaks to them, and in verse 3 it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he held him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. So then we see that this well-known cripple comes into the inner court with Peter and John. He's leaping and dancing and shouting God's praise. He gets a lot of attention. Why? Because he's been outside this gate for years, sitting on his mat, asking for money. I'm going to ask you, which is easier to give, money or Jesus' gift of healing? Peter maybe had the money, but he chose the difficult option to rely on his teacher and ask for the healing of this man. Again, why? Because we can also choose the less risky option to give money or even ignore the person without looking at the opportunity that we are being given by Jesus to preach the gospel. Yes, we might not be able to heal that person's problems. We obviously don't know their whole situation, but we do have an opportunity to show the love and grace of Jesus with conversation firstly, maybe the offer of help and guidance. Peter, though, takes the bull by the horns and offers healing. Healing may take many forms. It might be acceptance, friendship, practical help, and the grace that the person in front of us is in fact a human being with all the sins and problems of this world. This dramatic healing was prompted by the Holy Spirit clearly at work in the apostles, giving them words of power and strength to tell the gospel message of Jesus. Repent of your sin and rise to new life with him. Peter sees the opportunity as the crowds gather to see this man walk, dance and sing, which he has never been able to do before. What is happening? He steps up and starts to speak to the gathering crowd. Luke, the writer of Acts, gives details both medical and factual. Verse 12, when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Peter tells them that what happened is due to Jesus Christ a month before and no longer hidden away. He has seen many thousands come to Christ and be baptized on the day of Pentecost. And he is filled with spiritual energy. He says in verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It was in Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Luke gives a full outline also from the medical point of view. Joints are straightened, ligaments mended, and strength given, all in one incredible moment. And the evidence is there for all to see. But a miracle is only a miracle if it turns doubt into belief, and then repentance and change in the fact that the person knows these things. Faith is the game changer. Not ours or Peter's words, but faith that God can use us and our situation. Peter uses this situation for God's purposes. He and John were doing God's work, and it was through God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit who worked this miracle. He then explains Jesus' mission to save his people and all who would acknowledge him as their Lord. In verse 18 to 20, he says, "But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he might send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Peter goes on to say that although Jesus has promised to return, their job is to get the gospel message to as many people before that time comes. The work is urgent, and the message must go to the whole world. Who is to do this task? Well, unfortunately, it's us. I'm sorry to tell you, the work is urgent and we are to do it. You are allowed to ask, though, why me? But the truth is that the job is still urgent, and the time is even shorter than when Peter and John lived over 2,000 years ago. And we are responsible for this gospel message. Each faithful believer is saved, but also blessed. And I've put it in large capitals in inverted commas, because blessed might not be what you think when you go to speak to someone about Jesus. Peter is talking to a Jewish audience in the temple. He is in the inner court where only Jews can enter to pray and to sacrifice. I've lost my place now. Peter and John go, though, at the time of prayer. Sacrifice is no longer a part of their routine, as Christ has died once and for all sin. That is the message that we are to deliver to those we meet. Time is short to be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ, sacrifice once and for all people, is sufficient. Yes, all who come to Christ and repent of their sin will be saved. But if you don't know or hear that message, how can you be saved? How can we bless those we know and love, let alone those that we are yet destined to meet, unless we can talk about our own faith and the miracle from God that we've received? Jesus Christ is the one who can save any who believe. We can't, Jesus does. The responsibility, though, is ours as an individual, as a group of friends and believers in Jesus, as a church fellowship and leadership, even those who make the tea, clean the toilet, and sweep the floors. Each of us will have his own story of how he found Christ for himself or herself and believed. Each of us will have a different way of delivery. It could be a miracle, but normally it's a long drip feed of help, information, and explanation. You could have known from your earliest memory of your love of Jesus and the journey to find him. If we want to pass this important message to those who will listen, it will take all of our church, and that again is in large capitals, church. That is the people, not the building, to accomplish this task. So in summary, we see in our story today that God still performs miracles through his believing people. Sorry. But it takes first our faith in Jesus and our own repentance for sin to start the work required. If we believe we are God's people, saved and blessed through Jesus, once and only sacrifice on the cross, then we are beholden as a family to all participate in this task. The Christian church throughout the world is one body united in the love of Christ. In that love, we are sent out in the words of Moses and then Peter. In verse 25, you are the heirs of the prophets and of all the and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. We are those servants, far-flung spiritual descendants of Abraham, and still with the same task and with the same blessing. In verse 26, it says, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Jesus was sent to bless all who will listen and repent. Let's ask God to help us in this task. So as we come to the end of this talk, let us pray. Lord God, we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, that you will bless us with your Holy Spirit to go out from this place to do your will and to spread your gospel message. Help us to be unafraid and equipped by you to do this work in the way that you intend. Help us in such a way that people will know we are different and to ask why. We ask in Jesus' name, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.